Nothing extra, nothing lacking. Being so is being just this moment, sitting, walking throughout life. And yet we notice having and not having. What do we have? What do you have? What do you lack? What is skillful in living our lives? What is skillful to do? This moment, we may discover, find that there's all sorts of things that we believe. We could even say all sorts of things we believe we should have or should not have. Things we believe we do have and need fixing, much less things we believe about others. When we find that it's so, when we believe these things, when we become entangled in them and brew about them, and brew about reactions to them, when we act them out and have consequences, what's the practice? What to do? When we believe that this world, my world, should not be the way it is, my life, others in my life, how they are or are not, what to do? Recently, I've been encouraging many of you to take up a practice which Joko suggested towards the end of her life, of saying, whether to yourself or out loud as appropriate, thanks for everything, I have no complaints whatsoever. But don't mix this up with not taking care of what needs your care, whether it is dishes, whether it is emails, whether it is work, needs of others in your life, questions from people, shopping. There's really no need to say thanks for everything. We don't need to say something like that. Just be this moment. And yet, when we find ourselves entangled in reactions, in beliefs, beliefs about ourselves, beliefs about others, when we find ourselves suffering, acting out anger, believing fear, believing anger, believing being furious, much less harming or being harmed, thanks for everything. No complaints whatsoever. And yet then do what's appropriate. Some of you who've done this have found this helpful in the sense of helping with letting go of what you never had, of receiving what is not extra. And yet also some of you found this sort of practice suggestion difficult. Difficult at times to do, to be. An interesting thing about having a name is that we begin to think of ourselves as a solid thing, being that continues to exist, whoever, whatever that name is, much less title. Rather than being this moment experiencing, being this experiencing right now. And if we believe names of ourself, titles, etc., then we believe this of others all the more so. We hold on to titles. If we hold on to titles, reputations, positions, this solidity belief becomes something that we may react to and from. Especially if the habits of reacting are unnoticed and give rise to anger, give rise to harming, give rise to greed, give rise to confusions. Then this, what I'll call solidity belief, just builds in our life as a force that's driving us. So it is very useful if and when you notice these sorts of habit reactions, habit mind chatter, habit emotional reactions, to, if you can, do gassho, be gassho, be thanks for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Even if you tell yourself or tell others, I don't believe thanks for everything. I don't believe I have no complaints. I'm not thankful. I have all sorts of complaints. I hate this. All sorts of reasons my complaints are justified. It's their fault. It's her fault. It's his fault. This practice is useless. Of course, what use can it be? When we name others, name people or things or groups, or, and you can fill in who and what you name, and then what you characterize them, how you characterize them, and what we add on to that characterization and belief, these, when we notice them, are similar life practice opportunities of thanks for everything. Opportunities of no complaints, even in the midst of complaints, judgments, and so forth, arising and being held to. Because we know very well, if we hold to what I'll call solidity thinking feeling, or a solidifying of our thinking and feeling, making it solid and ongoing, then people, events, all the universe around us seems to become more solid and fixed, as do our judgments, beliefs, actions and reactions about them, and then about ourselves. This is all the more entangling when we have caveats such as, I like this, I dislike this, I agree with them, I disagree, and so forth. They're good, they're bad. All these abouts, especially if the abouts aren't noticed, these are the attachment that the Buddha speaks of, that reveals the second noble truth of the Buddha, the attachments which give rise to and nurture dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, suffering. And of course, what follows from this is harming, anger, and so forth. This is especially so, we find, and you just notice it if it's true or not, when we use a name with attached emotion, thought, aspects, and beliefs. Some of them is simple things, such, they're on such and such team. They believe such and such things. They do such and such things. Then they become fixed, permanent opportunities for us to react and all sorts of trouble. When we viscerally embody this, especially viscerally holding to the judgmental beliefs or labels and don't notice it but believe it, we react from it. We cause harm and suffering. Names are fine. Even judgments are fine, sometimes appropriate and necessary. Likes and dislikes, no problem. But when we're holding and held by them, entangled in them, reacting from them and not noticing, as I said, this is exactly what the Buddha talks of as the cause of suffering, the second noble truth. The perfect way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing likes and dislikes. Or, we'll say, avoid sticking and holding to picking, choosing, likes, dislikes. Being in harmony, the harmony of the Dharma, of this not to, there is no place where it is not. Everywhere, this is right in front of your eyes.